This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Health and Supplement channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with, once again, Dr. Sue Dakotas, a multi-board certified physician based in Midtown Manhattan. Dr. Dakotas specializes in regenerative and functional medicine. Dr. Dakotas, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me. I like being here.
Well, certainly the pleasure is ours as well. Thanks for taking a moment to be with us. So first of all, describe functional medicine and regenerative medicine and what it is that you do for your patients.
Well, functional medicine is the type of medicine where we're really connecting all of the dots and we're kind of delving into the reasons why people have common complaints. So we're not just treating the symptoms, which is sort of what we did in general medicine in the past. And regenerative medicine is the type of medicine that can sort of turn the clock back on your body. So we believe that when the body starts going down the tubes, there are things that we can do to turn it around. And of course, we want to jump on top of that as soon as we can. So when a person is young, it's really the time to start doing all the things that you need to do so that when you reach a certain age, your decline is going to be very, very, very slow, which is what we want.
How would an appointment with you be different than typical doctors that are in the same space?
I'm not going to take anyone's complaints that simply. So, for example, let's say that you come in and I see you a lot with frequent colds and flus. I'm really going to want to know why. And I'm going to look at different organ systems in your body. I'm going to think, is there something that he's doing that he shouldn't be doing? Is he taking too many antibiotics from other doctors? Is his immune system being suppressed by something? What's really going on? Does he have another underlying infection which is taxing his immune system? Let's say someone else comes in with a lot of anxiety and they're having a lot of panic attacks. Typically, what we used to do in medicine and what a lot of doctors are still doing is really just writing a prescription for that patient to control the symptoms of anxiety. Let's say something like a Xanax or a Valium or putting them on an antidepressant. I'm saying, well, why is this person anxious? Now, for example, one thing that we really focus on a lot in functional medicine is the gut. Now, the gut, if it's healthy, can do so much for us. If it can help us maintain a lean weight, a healthy weight. It also helps us make a lot of vitamins and nutrients, and even the neurotransmitter serotonin. So when someone's gut is inflamed, and a lot of times that happens due to environmental things, not just antibiotics, but also toxins that we've been exposed to since childhood, plastics, BPA, insecticides, herbicides that most of our food contains. All of this is going to change the nature of the bacteria in the gut. So when the gut doesn't have a healthy balance of bacteria, it becomes inflamed. And in that case, it can't really make, the gut is not able to make enough serotonin, which is a very important calming neurotransmitter. So many of these patients with anxiety have an inflamed gut. When you talk to the patient and say, well, gee, you know, do you have a problem with constipation or gas or do you have a poor digestive system? Many of them are going to say, absolutely. How did you know that? So you have to sort of connect the dots. So the gut and the brain really connect with each other. And the doctor has to think about that and help the patient in that area. So many times when we give these patients a potent medical-grade probiotic and perhaps give them a supplement that helps them make their own serotonin, something like 5-HTP, this patient is going to have a tremendous resolution of their anxiety symptoms, and they won't need to take a controlled substance, something like Xanax. So what we're doing is we're connecting one system to another. We're really looking at the core of what's going on with that patient. And we're also thinking about how does the environment affect the body? And there are so many toxins in the environment, not just the ones that we mentioned, such as herbicides and insecticides and plastics, but also heavy metals. A lot of us are still walking around with a pretty load of heavy metals in our body because these are just things that appear in the environment. It could be from our water faucet, the water that we drink. It could be from construction materials. So we also have to take a very good environmental history from the patient, occupational history. And many times if someone comes in with being very overweight and they're really having trouble losing weight despite a restricted caloric diet, despite exercising, many of these people have problems with toxins in the body. And if we do special testing, we can find that they may have heavy levels of, let's say, lead in the body. And when we detox these patients, they get a lot better. So we always have to connect the dots and always ask, why does this person have a problem? Many patients that have alterations in gut bacteria may also have a lot of allergies. They may also have a lot of food sensitivities. They may also have skin problems, such as recurring rashes, eczema, dry, itchy skin. And all of these things are connected to the gut. So here we go again. I mean, we have to connect the dots and treat the entire patient and not just write them a prescription for something that is only going to focus on the symptoms. And as people get older, and this is where regenerative medicine comes in, their system is more sensitive to these things. So we have to be even more vigilant for a person who becomes older. And as the person ages, they're not producing the antioxidants and the hormones that they used to produce. And this makes them very vulnerable to more diseases, especially fatigue, bone weakening, weakening of the skin, cancers and other things. So it's very important in this age group to be even more vigilant for these issues. But it's really better to prevent a lot of these problems by making sure that someone's nutritional status is excellent. And that's really very difficult to do with today's food. You know, a head of broccoli today is not what it was 60 years ago. Starting in the early 1970s, a lot of chemicals were being put into our foods. And then we had in the 80s a lot of large companies using GMO, genetically modified foods, which they did in a lab because what they wanted to do is make sure that a lot of the herbicides and insecticides that they were using on our food were becoming resistant. So these herbicides and insecticides were not working as well, because the food substances that they were growing were becoming sort of immune to that. So they developed GMO. Now, we know that GMO is not good for us. It can change the bacteria in our gut in a negative way. It can make us much more allergenic. So a lot of the GMO foods are adversely affecting our health, and they really take a large toll on our population. When you look at the obesity epidemic that we're seeing, a lot of people are just saying, oh, it's related to the fact that people aren't active anymore, and, you know, people are eating junk food and living in fast food restaurants. Well, that might be true, but why is that true? Perhaps we aren't eating as healthy as we should. But I think a lot of this is chemical exposure. And what happens is that the chemicals that get into our body make us obese. They cause us to put on more fat. They slow our metabolism down. And then when that happens, our cravings change. We start craving a lot of junk food. We start craving a lot of things that we would not have craved had we not been exposed to this. So, now, it's a very complicated issue, but, you know, one problem leads to another problem. And I think, for the large part, our obesity epidemic is related to what we've done to our environment. So I found in my practice treating overweight patients, many times we have to detox these patients, find out what it is that's causing them to be obese and detoxing them. And if we don't do this, many of these people may not be able to lose weight.
Really interesting information. Now, tell us about the supplements that you do use in your practice and how do you utilize them in patient care?
I believe that just about everybody needs to be on a really high-quality multivitamin. That's number one. Now, realize that your B vitamins, which pretty much run your body, they catalyze a lot of the reactions that occur inside the human body, but they're water-soluble. And as I said, our food supply has changed, so you can't count on just getting enough because you're eating a lot of salad and vegetables. And we also can't store B vitamins, so we blow through them. Our stores are very minimal, and that's just the way the body is. So if we're under stress, if we have another type of disease, if we're very busy people, we're working long hours, we really need to be on extra B vitamins. So if somebody's got a stressful job, and that's very common all over the country now, we're all working harder than ever, and we're not able to turn it off in the evening like we used to. I mean, we have to answer emails and texts, and we're connected 24/7. We live in a hyper-vigilant society. So B vitamins become extremely important. So that is certainly a multivitamin and an added B complex for those people that are stressed and that have very busy schedules. I think everybody should also be on a probiotic because we know that gut health is so important. Now, taking a yogurt or taking an over-the-counter antibiotic that you might find in your local drugstore may not be enough because of the quality of the product. So you really need to look for a probiotic that has a wide number of species, different types of bacteria, and also a very high number of bacteria. Otherwise, it may not work for you because a lot of it may not even get absorbed. So a probiotic, a multivitamin, B vitamins, and I think that as people get older, and they might want to check with their physician on this, especially, let's say, over the age of 40, something called DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone, might be very helpful because it helps maintain lean muscle mass. It's also very good for the brain. It helps women make a little testosterone, and that declines as they get older. And it's actually low in women of childbearing years, especially if they're on the birth control pill, because the birth control pill can inhibit the production of testosterone by the adrenal gland. So I think DHEA is a very good supplement. It's also great for the bones. So for people over 40, I think that's a very good thing to do. I also think that certain calming herbs can be wonderful for people that have insomnia or people who have trouble winding down at the end of a hectic day. Something like rhodiola is wonderful. It's a very calming herb, and it works almost immediately. I use a lot of melatonin in my practice because I think a lot of us who are stressed don't make enough melatonin. Those of us who are stressed who have high cortisol levels will certainly not make enough melatonin. So I think it's also a wonderful antioxidant. And I wouldn't be sheepish with the dosage. I usually tell my patients to start with about 6 milligrams a night. And I think it's wonderful, but it has to be a high-quality supplement. And so many people that come into the practice are complaining of ongoing stress. And a lot of times their adrenal is being stressed because the adrenal has to respond to their day-to-day stuff with the production of cortisol. And if cortisol is being produced at large amounts due to stress and life activities, the gland can eventually become tired. And when cortisol levels go down, this can be a serious problem because it has a very negative effect on the immune system. And many patients that we diagnose with breast and ovarian cancer and other types of cancers as well are found to have very low cortisol levels. So we know that loss of immune modulation of the that is done by cortisol is very dangerous. So we really want to check cortisol levels in patients, and certain adaptogenic herbs can be very good at keeping cortisol levels stable, be they high or low to begin with. And I use an interesting combination of herbs in my practice called adrenal support, and that includes ashwagandha, a panax, which is sort of an Asian ginseng, which is wonderful, and it really gives people more strength, and it makes them feel very focused. And the ashwagandha can calm people down. And there are some other herbs in there that really work well to de-stress the person, and we really see that cortisol levels go down when we give these things. Now, they're not appropriate for everyone, but again, for everyone, I think, at the very least, a good multivitamin and a probiotic is very, very appropriate.
Today we are with Dr. Sue Dakotas, a multi-board certified physician based in Midtown Manhattan that specializes in regenerative and functional medicine here on eHealth Radio's health and supplement channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Dakotas, in the news there has been so much about poor quality, sometimes even harmful supplements. How can the consumer be protected here?
I think it's very scary, and there's no easy answer to that. I think you have to be aware. There are a lot of third-party sources that you can just Google and get reviews on various vitamins, and that's a good way to start. But it's shocking that even some of the good quality companies, companies that have had very good ratings in the past, every once in a while they'll come up with a vitamin or supplement that's shown to be dangerous or not contain what it's supposed to contain. So I think you have to keep up with third-party supplement, third-party reviews. I think a lot of the big-name brands, and I'm certainly not going to mention what they are, especially some of the ones that are made by a particular store, let's say a lot of those store brands have been found to be very poor. And in New York State, Schneiderman, the Attorney General, is going after some of these brands. I think what happens with the companies is that they can open up another company under another name after they're under investigation and kind of disappear. So I really would do my research. I would certainly avoid products that are supposedly that would enhance your quote-unquote manhood. Some of those are very scary because they contain products. They're not allowed to put testosterone in it, but they contain products that mimic testosterone. But when they get into the human body, when men take them, they can turn into estrogen. So I've had a lot of men coming in for treatment that had enlarged breasts, that gained a lot of abdominal weight, that were feeling very fatigued, and the common denominator is they were taking some of this stuff. They were taking some of these male-enhancing medications. So I would definitely stay away from anything that says it's going to do that. And as far as the probiotic goes, I think you have to look at the bacterial count. If you have constipation, you really need to take something with a bacterial count higher than 50 billion. Anything less than that is probably not going to be effective. You also want to see that the probiotic contains at least 9 different species. That's very important. Some of the most common selling probiotics that have been proven to be safe, I don't know if they're effective because they contain way less, their bacterial count is way less than that. So that concerns me. People are taking things that they think are effective, and I don't think that we're really going to get any positive clinical results from those. And I see that a lot in my patients who come into my practice. They've been on certain things, and they're really not getting any appreciable benefits. So spend your money wisely and do your research.
Lastly, can you give us some recommendations for a basic supplement regimen to take for the average person out there, such as man, woman, middle age, et cetera?
Yes. I think every man, woman, and child needs to take a multivitamin and a probiotic. I think as we get older, DHEA can be very helpful, especially for men and women over 40. I think pregnenolone is wonderful. It's a supplement, even though it's a pro-hormone. It's not actually considered to be a hormone by the FDA, and that can really enhance memory. I think for sleep, melatonin is wonderful, and it's especially great for people who are under a lot of stress. I think melatonin can help them get to sleep. I think people who have trouble staying asleep may benefit from an herb named valerian. and we use this in the practice very often. I think for general nervousness throughout the day and inability to unwind in the evening, I think rhodiola is very good. I think adrenal adaptogens, and these are things that can help lower cortisol levels and help you with stress. I think things like ashwagandha, Panax ginseng, there's something also called Eleutherococcus. That can be very helpful as well. I would be a little bit more careful with those and really know exactly what you're doing because there can be some side effects from these things. I think magnesium is very important for people. Most of us in the U.S., believe it or not, have a magnesium deficiency, and it's just something that we're not getting on our food anymore. And symptoms can be headache, constipation, nervousness. I've seen so many people improve just by taking magnesium when they've had chronic headaches or chronic constipation. And it's also a great thing to take in the evening to unwind. So I think magnesium is very important. I think many of us take too much calcium. I think doctors have been part of that. I think we have to realize that if calcium is not getting absorbed, it could go right into your coronary arteries and cause calcification. And calcium is not going to get absorbed if you don't have enough vitamin D. And the majority of people in the U.S. have vitamin D deficiency. In my practice, we find that using vitamin D liquid under the tongue is a highly effective way of raising vitamin D levels. We find that a lot of the vitamin D that we were using by mouth that was actually a prescription medication was not getting absorbed. We weren't able to show that people had higher levels after they were taking it. So I think everybody needs to think about vitamin D, especially if they live in a northern climate. So I think vitamin D is important for every man, woman, and child, a probiotic, a multivitamin as we get older. I think DHEA and pregnenolone, and we, of course, have to be even more careful about our bones as we age. And those are my basic recommendations.
Dr. Dakota, certainly do appreciate all this helpful information for the listeners. And tell us, where can folks be in touch and find you online?
You can find me online at drdakotis.com. drdakotis.com. And we also have a lot of blogs, and a lot of people are following us on Google Plus. We have a great nutritional blog. So follow us and stick with us.
Sounds like a plan. Dr. Dakotis, once again, thanks for your time spent on eHealth Radio.
Nice chatting with you.
We've been speaking with Dr. Sue Dakotis, a multi-board certified physician based in Midtown Manhattan that specializes in regenerative and functional medicine. And once again, the website of reference is drdakotis.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Health and Supplement Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.